Please look at Proverbs 15, verse 16 this morning. As we confess our sins together, we'll look at this verse. Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. This is God's word. Amen. As we reflect on the old story in Genesis of Esau, we learn a very valuable lesson that connects to this proverb. Esau had a serious misapprehension of value when it came to that soup that Jacob was making. He came that day, he was hungry, and he was willing to give up something of such greater value for something of such lesser value. He gave up his birthright for the soup. And we're all reading the story and we're thinking, what is he thinking? He's thinking so short-sightedly. He can't get beyond his hunger. He can't value these things correctly. He doesn't see it. I would say that we face the same danger, brothers and sisters, when it comes to the things of this life. We become so short-sighted by our desires that we want things, we want money, we want wealth, we want our desires fulfilled, and then to the peril of our own souls, we can trade all of it and lose the eternal things that are of such greater value. And so as we see from the story of Esau, and as we see in this proverb, we can have a twisted sense of value and end up with the wrong thing. Jesus also asked a question of value when he said in Matthew 16, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What is the value of your own soul when compared to all the possessions of this world? Money cannot buy a human soul. Money cannot redeem a human soul. And so what we love, what we value, what we worship is vitally important. Will our decisions in this life to value the things of the world cost us our own souls? Or will we possess the true treasures and live joyful and contented lives? And so this proverb says that the fear of the Lord is of such greater value than great treasure in this world. So let's look at the first line. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. As with many proverbs, it draws a contrast for us. It takes one extreme and puts it against another extreme so that we can get a proper understanding of these things. And what it basically says is that it's better to have very little material wealth with the fear of the Lord rather than to be as rich as Mark Zuckerberg and have all the troubles that come with serving the God of money. We have to remember also that the phrase, the fear of the Lord, isn't just talking about reverencing the Lord here. That's true. It does include that. But when that phrase, fear of the Lord, is used in the Proverbs, it really encompasses our entire relationship with God. It sums up the fact that we are in communion with God. We enjoy this relationship with God. We walk with Him. It is the communion we enjoy with the triune God described. And so you could just as easily perhaps rephrase the proverb to say, better it is to be in relationship with the true and living God with very little wealth than to enjoy all the wealth of this life and have the trouble that comes with it. Paul describes the value of knowing Christ in Philippians 3 when he says, all the things that were gained to me I have counted as loss. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. He describes the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which in some translations is described as the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. Paul understood the value here. He understood that it was far more valuable to know Christ, to progressively know more about Christ than to have all the other things of this world that he had once enjoyed. And then it says in the second line of the proverb, it is better to have the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. That word trouble, I believe, describes the anxieties and the frustrations that come with seeking after the God of wealth. That's what I believe it's describing. It is possible to have the fear of the Lord and great wealth and to use it well, to be content, to be joyful, to value it in the right place and not see it as something above God. But what I believe this proverb is telling us is that if you abandon the fear of the Lord and you have much treasure, you're just going to have trouble. You're going to have anxieties. You're going to have sorrows. You're going to have frustrations. Paul describes this in 1 Timothy 6. He gives us this incredibly severe warning in 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Sounds just like what this proverb describes. Trouble, anxiety, sorrow, grief that come when the love of money drives us. Now I can tell you with confidence that if you decide to serve possessions, to serve wealth in this life, that you will have nothing but frustration ultimately. And why is that? Why do we know that? The reason is, as any time we take something and make it a god, make it an idol and worship it, it never delivers on what it promises, because it can't deliver on what it promises to us. Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. That Aramaic word mammon simply means possessions, wealth, money, or to put it simply, stuff. You cannot serve stuff and God. And we see this amongst many in this world who enjoy great wealth. It does not immediately get rid of their anxieties or their frustrations or their sorrows. We've seen the testimonies. Perhaps you remember the famous statement that John D. Rockefeller made many decades ago. Rockefeller is one of the richest men in modern history. His net worth was about $400 billion by modern estimations in terms of modern value. And they asked John Rockefeller, how much more would you like to make? And he answered, just a little bit more. Whether he was anxious in saying that, I don't know. But I know that there are many, as they think that way, in that same frame of mind, are filled with the anxiety and the frustration of trying to get more. The God of mammon does not deliver, does not satisfy. The God of mammon only takes. Now contrast the God of mammon with the true and living God. The God of mammon takes and takes and takes from you, but the God of Scripture gives freely to us. What a difference. One God takes, one God gives freely. Consider some of these passages. I'll just read them off to you about what the true God freely gives us, received by faith. Listen to these words. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our own sins. This is not the God of mammon who takes. This is the God of love who gives who gives this indescribable gift of his Son to us and gives us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And if we go back to the words of the proverb, it says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord. And it's describing material things, small amount of material things. But then we realize as we read these verses, we don't actually have a little. We possess everything. As Paul says, having nothing yet, possessing all things. We're not poor. We are rich in Christ. And we compare that with what money can get us. We have this phrase that people like to toss around that's completely untrue. People say, money can buy you anything. It can't buy these blessings. It can't buy what is described in Romans 8 and 2 Corinthians 8 and Ephesians 1. It cannot buy any of those things. There is not any dollar amount that can ransom your soul from sin, that can raise you from the dead and give you these spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. There's no money that can do that. Only Jesus alone can deliver you from the bondage of sin and the bondage of guilt and give you what you truly need and what you should truly value, eternal life and a rich inheritance with him. So this proverb this morning leads us to reevaluate our priorities as we confess our sins. It calls us to examine what we value. What do we value the most? Do we value this rich communion with God through Jesus Christ, the fear of the Lord, walking with him? Or are we trying to maintain service for two gods? Are we trying to have two jobs? We'll have my job over here where I serve the God of money, and my job over here where I worship God. The Word of God requires that we serve and worship the true God 24/7. We cannot serve both. It's impossible. And so I encourage you this morning to consider how covetousness has affected you, perhaps drawn you away from an undivided devotion to the Lord who calls you to something so much greater than those things. And so let us confess these things, let us receive God's forgiveness, and endeavor to pursue contentment, realizing our true spiritual blessings, the riches we have in Jesus. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, what a gift you have given to us in your Son. We know that this proverb describes having a little wealth with the fear of the Lord, but we praise you that because, though we may possess little material wealth, yet we actually possess all things, all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places through our Lord Jesus. What an indescribable gift you have given us. We ask that you would forgive us for valuing these vain worldly things above your precious Son. We pray that you would forgive us for going after the bowl of soup and forgetting about the birthright that we have. Grant us contentment, O Lord. Grant us a great treasuring of the things that we do have. Change our hearts. Teach us that truly to fear you and to walk with you is far better than having the most valued things of this world. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.